Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a restful weekend, opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day with your family, just to be with your loved ones, and to remember the great gift and call on your life if you're a disciple of Jesus and the great gift he's given us in the Eucharist. And I've thought a lot recently about the power of the Eucharist to form culture. Culture is such a powerful reality. Culture is the way of life of a people. Culture is what informs our politics. It informs so much of the way people live. Culture is the, you know, what we value, what we honor, what matters to us. Culture is kind of the air people breathe, but it's usually, you know, historically been grounded. It's grounded on a worldview. And the fundamental worldview of the West was a Judeo-Christian worldview. And at the center, from Catholic point of view, from the center of that worldview is expressed most beautifully, most perfectly in the Eucharist. Because in the Eucharist, we celebrate both receiving the word and sacrament, those two realities, and the representation of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, on the altar, that the deed that saved us, the act of love by which humanity was saved in the person of Jesus and his yes to the Father, and showing us so many of the things we've talked about in the program over the last number of years. Just there's so much that is revealed there about who God is, about who man is, about sin, about spiritual warfare, about the power of defining what love is, human success, everything. All of it is communicated right there in the Lord. And above all things, we see the plan of God unfolding, the larger eternal picture, the fundamental ground and reality of a Catholic worldview. And then, of course, we gather around it and we receive the word and we bend our knee, we say amen. And then we are fed by the Lord for the journey that we're on, the manna, the life, his life. His body is real food, his blood is real drink, and he strengthens us. And what the Eucharist is fundamentally the people of God gathering around the representation of the act which defined us, the reality that we live in. Because yes, Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father. But he's the Lamb of God who for all eternity, as Father Francis Martin said, intercedes on our behalf for the fulfillment of the Father's plan, and that Jesus presents his wounds before the Father, his fidelity, his faithfulness. And the Father gives over to the Son the entire kingdom to the faithful one. So all the realities of man's fall, life, Jesus coming, his incarnation, his life, passion, death, resurrection, ascension into glory, his ruling, the establishment of the kingdom of God, all that stuff is gathered up, that whole reality. The fundamental acts of God and the saving work of God is gathered up in the celebration of the Eucharist. And there's an open heaven there. God comes in an entirely unique way, and we bend our knee and we say yes to that deed that saved us. Now, just as a reminder to the people who are listening, the Catholic Church is not saying that Jesus dies over and over and over and over again. He died once for all for the sake of the salvation of the world. And it's what we gather around. And in our worship, the word cult, which has to do with worship, right, and sacrifice, an offering, is essentially the root of the word culture. You become what you worship. And so the Eucharist is so important, and we can see the enemy's strategy of trying to undermine faith and confidence in the Eucharist, people drifting away from it, people coming out of touch with it, people not engaging in it, kind of passively present, instead of seeing the white-hot reality that's at the center of it, and that a people of disciples who know their life is no longer their own, and what we celebrate is what defines us, and what we celebrate is the reality of Jesus and what Jesus has done and who he is and what he taught us and how he lived and where he is now and what he's calling us to be, and we receive it. And we get strengthened by it. And together as a collective people, a family, a new humanity, a missionary community, you could say, of men and women, sinful, broken people who are being forgiven by the Lord, being strengthened by the Lord, being drawn into his mission and extending his kingdom in the world. It's all there. And friends, right now, this is the place where when we talk about identity and we talk about laying hold of purpose in this life, what defines us, what the meaning of my life is individually, what the meaning of our corporate life is, it's right there. That's the place. And so coming prepared, coming with a hungry heart, coming to give thanks to the Father, because that's the heart of what it is, Eucharistic Thanksgiving, we see these truths represented again. The reality is there. And we say, yes, Father, this is us. Right from the beginning, the sign of the cross, stepping into the presence of God in that unique way, the confidio, or the acknowledging of our sins and bringing them before the Lord, preparing ourselves to come into the holy place with the Lord, singing the Gloria. We sing with all our heart the reality of what God the Father's accomplished in Jesus. We give glory to God in the highest. It's wonderful. And this is the song of the church. This is the heart of God's people. And it's important for us to touch this again and again. And not just, it's a ritual, it's a rite. The word ritual is not a bad word, but we have to be careful that we're not just in this automatic pilot kind of mode, habit mode, like we're just kind of watching something happen, but we're engaging it. We're entering into it because this is the expression of our life and the Lord's there with us in such a unique and a powerful way. And friends, if you want to change the culture back, if you want to change our country back, if you want the church, you want to participate in the mission of the church in the most fruitful way, here is where we have to be taught, fed, drawn in, and wholeheartedly given over to the worship of God and allowing what's being said there, practiced there, exercised there, experienced, what's happening there, let it shape our whole mind, heart, soul, and strength. Because as we do that, it gives us strength to ite missa est, that is, at the end of Mass, go, make disciples of all nations, go, live as disciples in the world, go, understand who you are in a world that's losing its center, it's losing its hold on reality. It's so important for us to lay hold of that reality. What we're seeing is many baptized people are in fact formed more completely by a different worldview altogether, the worldview of a fallen world. You can see it in the fact of how people are walking away from the Eucharist, or that they don't know who Jesus is. All these different polls and studies that are done this past year, to me, one of the saddest ones is, besides the fact that 70% of Catholics don't believe in the real presence, which is a huge issue, but also people being polled, high numbers of Catholics being polled and asked about statements made, true, false, answering these statements, self-professing Catholics answering these polls. Like for one statement is, Jesus is the greatest moral teacher, but he's not God, true or false. The majority of Catholics, like 66 or almost 70% of self-identifying Catholics said that was a true statement, that Jesus is a great or the greatest moral teacher, but he's not God. I mean, that literally, friends, is to miss the entire point of Christianity. I mean, it's sad. I mean, I laugh, but it's sad. It's like, we couldn't be more wrong. That many people couldn't be more wrong about a more essential issue than the fundamental identity of Jesus, right? Who's the Son of God, who's God come in the flesh, the eternally begotten Son of God, which we say at the Creed at Mass every week, every Sunday. And isn't it interesting that people can go to hundreds of Masses in their life, even go to Catholic schools, and say that creed out loud in a kind of, I don't know, just words coming out of our mouth rather than something from the heart that's a real conviction, because they've missed the point. So here's where we are, and this is one of the reasons why the church is weak. This is why, for example, one of the phenomena I see happening, I've talked recently to a very impressive guy. He was at one point a principal of a Catholic high school, and others, to say, you know, lots of prestigious Catholic high schools around the country are just getting on board with all the cultural things that are coming down the pike, whether it's the full agenda of the LGBTQ people, the uncritical full acceptance of critical race theory, all kinds of things like that in high schools. And it's like they get excited and they're fundamentally missionary about those things, but seem to have, and a lot of it's because of where parents are at, that parents are as confused, and parents don't realize that they are the key formators of the children. And their lack of faith, or their own indifference to the faith, or their own compromise is just getting mirrored in many, many cases, not all cases, but in many cases, just mirroring the family culture. And a family culture is meant to be informed by the fundamental central culture-forming reality of the church, which is the celebration of the Eucharist, the high point, the source and summit of our faith. And so we take from that, we say, yes, this is what defines it. We look around, say, other families and singles and other people in the parish, we all come around the same reality, and we say, yes, we have been forgiven. And yes, we've been baptized into a whole new reality, and we accept who God says we are. We accept what God says the world is. And then we leave that place, and we live the reality of who we are. We actually incarnate our worldview in our home, in the rhythms of our life. Prayer, conversation. And it leads me to think of, I mentioned this study a while back, Christian Smith, the great sociologist from Notre Dame. He, at the beginning of 2020, there's a video on YouTube, you can listen to it, where he talks about a very large longitudinal study that they did, kind of tracking young people from, I think, junior high, a kind of an arc through high school, college, post-college, career, marriage, family. How many people who started as Catholic or Christian made that arc and successfully made it all the way to marriage, and they're raising their children in the Lord, and they carry the heart of discipleship. They're real disciples, converted, loving the Lord, trying the best they can to live with Him and live with others who are doing the same. And he broke down in the four quadrants. In the top quadrant, the top 25% of those who actually made that arc, what are the common denominators? 81% of all those in the top quadrant had these three things in common. Number one, they had parents, mom and dad, who internalized, believed, and were living the faith. Number two, they regularly went to church with their parents. Number three, there were conversations in the family on a regular basis, age specific, where Jesus was a part of the conversation, where faith was part of the living life of the church, of the family. And then the last, I think, if I got it right, was they were engaged in some kind of mission together, whether it was like working at a soup kitchen or some different kinds of missionary type things happened throughout the history of the family, because the parents were leading and integrating, saying, this is all part of who we are. And so they were incarnating, on a Catholic perspective, what was communicated at the Eucharist and in the Word of God. And he said 81% of the kids who made that arc into adulthood, this was the fundament, and nothing else even compared. Not Catholic schools, not ministries, outreaches. They weren't diminishing the reality of the effect of those kinds of things in the lives of some people, but nothing has more impact than the parents. And parents need to see that, internalize it, receive the strength and grace to lead their families. God bless you, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.